A couple of things here, for instance. Now, you know that today a terrorist can be defined as, in the United States, according to the Patriot Act, as a person who seems to be trying to influence the policies of the state, you know, by their behavior, right? So even though obviously there are in the world some people who use terror as a political weapon, clearly under the label of terrorist, right? Under the label of terrorist, many people, in fact, probably most of us, you know, can be charged with that. You can, in fact, strikers, it is often, you know, strikers have been described at times in ways that makes them very close to terrorists, protesters, anti-war protesters, and so forth. Okay, now, you find in the persecution of the witches of the 16th and 17th century that, in fact, you know, the very similar situation, you know, was at work. You know, the label of witch became a label that, you know, was sufficient, you know, to have a woman arrested, tortured, and executed, even though no proof of crimes committed might be available, you know, against her, right? There's another, by the way, there's another connection which I think is interesting. You know, witchcraft was defined as a crime. It was called a crimen exceptum, which means a particular, a special type of crime, a crime that is exceptional because it's so bad that you are allowed to use any procedure against those who are guilty of it. Right? In other words, the regular procedures are suspended, were suspended in the case of this particular crime. And we find, again, an interesting parallel to show how past and present continuously merge with the war on terror, where, in fact, in the case of the so-called terrorists, too, but, you know, the regular procedure are suspended. And, for example, torture has quite openly returned, you know, to be considered a legitimate part of juridical procedure. Now, the most important clue that, in my view, we have to understand what the witch hunt was and its connection to our reality is the time period in which it occurred and the social context in which it occurred, right? And here I'm going to ask you to make a brief journey with me, to travel back in time, and even though, you know, we may be thinking of a situation that occurred centuries ago, to bear with me and try to think back to events that, although far long past, you know, were very important, and they've been important, very important in our history. Now, there's three dates that I want to propose to you that I find very interesting. The first is the date of one of the first major demonologies that were written in Europe against witches. And the date is 1484, excuse me, 1486, and is the date of this book called The Hammer of Witches, which I advise for it's a very educational book. It's a classic in misogyny. It's full of hatred against women. And you ask, in fact, you know, what these women must have done to provoke such hatred. It was written by Dominican monks, members of the Inquisition in Germany, and is considered a very, very important text because it launched the persecution in Germany, and then it basically became a classic. Everybody read it. It was published many times and so forth. So the date is 1486. Now, 1486 is also the date of the Sentencia de Guadalupe. The Sentencia de Guadalupe is an agreement that was signed by the lords of Catalonia and the king of Spain, and the Sentencia of Guadalupe put an end to serfdom. It was the document and the agreement that basically put an end, you know, to officially, formally, to the condition of serfdom. And the third date is 1492. 1492, the departure of Columbus, which began the conquest of America. Right? Now, I take these three dates as symbolic, and of course many more dates could be assembled, but I take these three as symbolic because they indicate that in a way, you know, the Wichand basically stands, right? Its beginning occurs at a time in which profound transformations were taking place in European history. You know, a whole new world was being transformed. And in particular, it took place at a time in which you had the culmination of the crisis of the feudal world. You know, and a crisis that basically was not an evolutionary crisis, it was a crisis that occurred as a result of a prolonged process of struggle, a prolonged process of peasant struggles that basically opposed the aristocracy, demanding their freedom, demanded basically the autonomy, would refused the conditions of serfdom, refused to be serfs, wanted to have their land, wanted to have their community, wanted their community to be independent. And that struggle also was joined by, you know, artisan workers who wanted to be free from the control of merchants. So we have a period in the 14th century in Europe in which the whole feudal world begins to crumble, enters into crisis under the impact of this struggle, and the date of the Sentencia de Guadalupe, you know, or the Sentencia gives you an image, you know, of how powerful those struggles were. In fact, by 1400, serfdom, which was the main form of exploitation in Europe, was coming to an end, and not only in Spain, right? And with that development, you also have the beginning now of a sustained attempt by the European elite, by the dominant classes in Europe, to regain their power, right? To regain their power, to regain their command over the accumulation of wealth, right? To regain their command over the workforce and to find new resources, to find new workers. And in fact, the conquest, the beginning of a geographical exploration, which in this period is continuous, they are continuing to exploring, but they are exploring really, as you know, because what they were really exploring was where they could appropriate resources and workers that would enable them to overcome their crisis. And of course, they discovered America, in quote. Right. Now, the witch hunt is in that period, or at least begins in that period, and then develops for two centuries, hands in hands, with the process of conquest and colonization of America, and at the same time, hand in hand, with the process whereby in Europe, you know, thousands of peasants were expelled, you know, from their lands. Communal relations were destroyed. And, you know, a market economy began to take shape. And it also went hand in hand, you know, with the process whereby by the 1520s, you know, you begin to have the beginning of a slave trade, which of course accelerates through the 16th century and culminates in the 17th with the development of plantation economies in the Caribbean and in the south of the United States. Now, so when those connections, those dates, that context, you know, became clear to me, it was very obvious. It was became axiomatic for me to assume that there was a very profound connection between the witch hunt, the slave trade, the expulsion of the peasantry from its land in Europe, and all processes that I knew had been key to the development of capitalism, to the development of capitalist relations, you know, in Europe and in the world. In fact, to the development of the first world economy, right? The development of the first world capitalist economy, because I agree that, capitalism was born as a global economy. Globalization did not begin in the 90s. Globalization began when European elite annexed the America, to Europe, and basically appropriated the resources that had been, they were available on the American continent, and harnessed them for the development of a market economy in Europe. Now, the question, of course, now is, what did the witch hunt specifically had to do, with the rise of capitalism? If it can be established, as I believe it can, that there is a profound connection, between the persecution of the witches and the slave trade, the process in England and other parts of Europe that has been defined as enclosure, right? What was the objective of the witch hunt? What is the relationship? What specifically that persecution do? Now, there are. I claim in the book that the answer cannot be univocal. You cannot just have one answer. Obviously, the witch hunt had many effects and had many purposes. And as I mentioned before, it was instrumental, right, to the accomplishment of many tasks. And certainly, one that stands out, very in an outstanding way, is that the witch hunt was instrumental to the attack that was being waged, on peasants in particular, as well as artisans, through many countries of Europe, in which the process of shifting to a market economy, a capitalist economy, was underway. And you have, this was a period in which the workforce, was extremely embattled and under assault, and attacking many women, mostly lower class women, poor women, right, and accusing them of being evildoers, of being witches, of being committed to plotting every evil deed against their neighbors, was very powerful tool to try to weaken the forces of resistance of communities that were under attack, right? And to create a climate of fear and reciprocal suspicion, right? Imagine if you can be convinced, if a community can be convinced, right, that a man itself There are women who at night, you know, perpetrate, you know, who are basically demonic and perpetrate all kinds of evil deeds, right? That kind of suspicion generates, obviously, a division, generates a weakens, you know, the resistances of that community. And this clearly occurred. And we also know that the majority of witches were women who were poor, were beggars, right? Women who had lost everything, they had lost land, particularly they were older women. And, you know, this was, of course, at a time in which begging was seen as anathema, right? And particularly with the rise of Protestantism, poverty begins to be seen as a sin, as a sign of sinfulness. And begging, in fact, begins to be banned. You know, in a previous era, begging was accepted. In fact, charity was one of the activities that was expected of people with some wealth. But with the development of a more capitalistic, you know, work ethic and the society, begging begins to be suspicious. So we know that certainly many women who were accused of being witches were beggars. Some of them were healers. And healing, too. Obviously, the fact that women were practiced folk healing, you know, the attack against them can clearly be understood, because that healing gave them a certain power in the community, right? It gave them, in fact, the healers were considered extremely important, extremely useful member of the community, and, you know, gave women a power that obviously, you know, had to be broken.